is docket number 83621, In Re BJWA. Counselor, are we ready?
All here.
Okay, would you like to reserve any time?
Yes, Your Honor, 4 minutes.
Yep.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Julian Gregory. I represent the subject minor in this appeal. This is a case about the plain meaning of statute. The statute in question being NRS 201.230, the Lucas for the Minor statute. Your Honors, that statute sets up a framework in which there are two different outcomes. There's the adult outcome and juvenile outcome. And subsection 5 of that statute specifically provides that a person under the age of 18 who commits the act of lewdness with a minor under the age of 14 commits a delinquent act. It is impossible under this reading of the statute for a juvenile to commit the crime of lewdness with a child. It's simply a delinquent act. It's a civil penalty. And it falls entirely outside of the criminal paradigm. The language in the statute is plain and unambiguous. There's no room for construction here. The language is, this is a delinquent act. And with that in mind, I'm not going to go too much into the canons of statutory interpretation unless the court has questions in that regard. But what I will state is that the plain meaning is a person under the age of 18 should be treated as a juvenile. They should receive treatment. They should receive rehabilitation through the juvenile courts. That's the reason we have these courts. That's the reason that we have the statute.
Well, Mr. Gregory, hi, how are you?
Hello, Your Honor.
Isn't it true, though, that when minors commit offenses and they're delinquent acts, so they go to the juvenile court initially, but they're subject to the process to certify up to adult court. So all of the cases that get certified up to adult court are delinquent cases to start with. So why is this different?
This statute is different because the entirety of the criminal code in Nevada excludes this exception, this subsection 5 language, which states this is a delinquent act when committed by somebody under the age of 18. And the language, I think, indicates that this is not certifiable because, let me back up a little bit. The language states that it is a delinquent act. We don't have this language in any other statute except for one by my reading. And that was the minor in possession of a firearm statute. That's 202.300. That statute also provides that a minor who carries a firearm is committing a delinquent act. Again, similar circumstance here where there is no way that a minor can commit an adult offense.
But understanding that we have to read statutes in harmony as if each can exist independent of each other and collectively with each other. And understanding that Chapter 62 defines delinquent acts and the rights of the juvenile court to certify delinquent acts to adult court if the crime that was committed is a felony. How can you, or where in there do you see some limitation on the juvenile court to not be able to certify lewdness with a minor if it's committed by somebody under 18 years of age?
And that's where we do start getting into questions of statutory construction. Under the canons of statutory interpretation, The specific is construed as an exception to the general. And it's my position that the specific statute here, the lewdness statute, is an exception to the general statute of 62B390, which is the certification statute.
But all it does is state that an act that's committed by somebody under 18 is a delinquent act, not that the juvenile court is somehow excepted from being able to certify this one particular case up. So how do you interpret the statute as providing for that kind of a limitation?
Your Honor, the statute itself has this one provision and within it that no other statute has. You don't see certifications on minor in possession of a firearm because there's nothing to certify. It's an issue of a minor and a minor's act. And based on that, my reading of the statute is that this is a similar situation. There's no way that a minor can commit this act and be subject to criminal prosecution for it.
Counsel, the way I get your argument, you're acknowledging that these acts, at least some of them, should have gone back to the juvenile court, right?
Yes, of course, Your Honor.
And you're not disputing the fact that the juvenile court has the ability to certify.
I am not disputing that they have the general authority to certify.
Okay. So what is the role of 62B390, which addresses certification? And under that statute, the certification can occur where the child is engaged in in acts that would be criminal if they were committed by an adult. But there is this language that places somewhat of an exception, and maybe that plays into your argument. Is charged with an offense that would have been a felony if committed by an adult and was 14 years of age or older at the time of the offense. The statute's silent about what happens for offenses that are below the age of 14. Does that prevent the certification of those acts? Did you argue that?
Your Honor, I do not, I have not prepared make that argument. What I would say is that the statute itself, the statute 62B390 does grant a general grant of authority to the juvenile courts.
What was concerning to me is that there are a number of acts that are charged here. It looks like many sexual offenses occurred on children who are below the age of 14.
That's correct.
But several appear to have occurred after the age of 14. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, with respect to those that occurred after the age of 14, wouldn't the certification be appropriate under 62B390? And isn't the role of subsection 5 of the statute you're talking about just assuring that these lewdness acts go to the juvenile court for jurisdiction, and then the juvenile court determines whether it can certify up? And the question, it seems to me, is whether it can certify acts that are below 14 as opposed to acts that are above 14. Do you follow my question?
I think I follow your question, Your Honor, yes.
So if there are acts that were committed or allegedly committed by your client that were above age 14, it would seem like the certification statute permits the juvenile court to at least certify those acts for sure.
I would argue that the provision in subsection 5 takes this entirely out of the certification realm.
Okay, so other than the plain language of subsection 5, where do you get that bar from?
Your Honor, we can look at the legislative history to determine what the legislature's intent was in enacting subsection 5.
But we don't look at legislative history if there's a plain language reading.
And by the plain language, it's my assertion that that certification is completely taken out of this, is taken off the table by subsection 5.
Subsection 5 doesn't bar certification, it just declares the delinquent acts.
And the rest of 201, 230 also provides this kind of scheme. It's kind of a logic puzzle. You plug in a particular defendant and you get a particular outcome. And under the statute as it's written, it's not possible for a juvenile to commit this offense as a criminal.
Mr. Gregory, I just want to clarify and make sure that I'm understanding, because of the discussion you just had with Justice Hardesty about 62B390. Is there any assertion that at the time of any of these alleged offenses, your client was under the age of 14?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. So your client at the time of the alleged offenses was at least 14 years of age when those things happened.
He was.
Or alleged to have happened, right? Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Counsel, if we read subsection 5, the way the state's asking us to read it, does it just render subsection 5 meaningless?
I believe it does, Your Honor. And as we know, the canons of interpretation say that we should not render a law a nullity when there has to be some effect to the words that the legislature put in there. And in this case, the legislature in 2015 added subsection 5. That was a clear indication that the legislature did not intend for this to be a certifiable offense. Now, subsection 5 passed. It was debated. The legislature, to my knowledge, didn't address subsection 5 specifically on the floor, but they did ultimately pass it, and that's why we're here. And with that in mind, I'm sorry, Judge.
Did you want to reserve the rest of your time?
Yes, if I could, please.
Okay.
Unless there are any further questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, my name is Tanner Sharp, and I represent the respondent in this matter. Juvenile law is unique because it's not quite civil. We don't call it criminal, but it certainly has several criminal elements to it. And so as a background, I'd like to provide the way that the legislature has kind of categorized different acts that juveniles can commit that we would consider potentially wrongful acts. The first category is essentially a category that I deem a no wrongdoing category. In this, it's essentially stating, you know, if an adult were to commit this crime, we would be looking at a felony or a misdemeanor in this case. However, if a child does it, we don't want the courts involved. We don't want the legislature involved. A good example of this would be the per se sexual assault. In that case, if an adult obviously has sex with a minor under the age of 14, per se, they are guilty of sexual assault. However, there is an exception carved out in that statute that essentially states that if a juvenile who is 15 has sexual relations with another juvenile who is 13, so there's less than 2 years difference there, and there is consent, then the sexual assault statute does not apply at all whatsoever. And so essentially, there's no harm, no foul there. The second category is that of child in need of supervision, and this is where the legislature has deemed that we need some court intervention here. We're not going to rise it to the level of serious intervention like probation or potentially certification or correctional placement, but the court does need to intervene. And these generally are crimes, not even crimes, we just call them acts where the child is in need of supervision, where the child is consistently running away from home, consistently truant, perhaps using tobacco. One of the exceptions that stands out in the statute is that of texting pornographic pictures of children. So, for example, if an adult texts a pornographic picture of a child, obviously that is distributing child pornography and that's a felony. However, if a child takes a sexually intimate picture of themselves and sends that text message to someone else, to another child, that is considered to be a child in need of supervision. The third category I'll get to here in a second, but the fourth category is essentially the criminal act category, and this is where under 62B390 the legislature has essentially found that there are some acts such as murder when committed by a juvenile who's at least 16 that are so egregious that it goes straight to criminal court. Juvenile court does not have any jurisdiction. The main category and the third category is that of the delinquent act, and this is essentially whenever a juvenile commits an act that would have been a crime if an adult, and if it's not in one of those other three categories, then it's considered to be a delinquent act. And at that point, the court can step in, take jurisdiction, can place a child on probation, can ensure services, can place the child in correctional placement. And one of the unique abilities that the legislature gave the district court is this, the discretion to certify. And as has been brought up by this court previously, under 62B390, the juvenile court is allowed when a child is at least 14 years of age, when he's committed an act that would have been a felony, the court may do a full investigation and determine that that child needs to be placed in the adult criminal system.
But counsel, how do we deal with subsection 5? Because 62B says a crime, if it would be a felony if committed by an adult. But when we go to the lewdness statute, it doesn't seem like if it's committed by a juvenile, well, if it's committed by somebody under 18, then it's a delinquent act. So it's how do we harmonize those? Because I'm having trouble just on the words.
Completely understand. So the first thing that I would point out is I know of no crime in NRS where the legislature has specifically taken away the discretion of the district court to certify a juvenile. So the question here is, was the legislature attempting to limit the district court's ability, or was the legislature simply attempting to place this crime in a specific category? Well, is it one of
the legislature did limit the district court, right? And 62B390 by saying no offense committed, even if it would have been a felony, can be certified up if the child is under 14 when they committed the crime.
That's exactly right. And so that's
so
where I get to.
The legislature knows how to limit if they want to limit.
I completely agree with that statement. And that's why I say this is reflective of the category in which the legislature deemed this particular crime. And why that is important is because there are so many different variations of this particular act that juveniles can commit. And let me kind of explain where I'm coming from there. So, you know, when we're looking at robbery, all it takes is the juvenile or the defendant, a victim, and seeking to take away by force. But when it comes to lewdness, you're looking at several different issues. So let me throw out a couple of scenarios that I've seen in my work. So let's say you have a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they're fooling around, and there's inappropriate touching, but it's consensual. Well, the legislature looks at that and says, okay, well, there needs to be some court intervention because there may be some issues here and we have some concerns. However, we obviously have those limitations in the statute, as was referenced, that state that we're not looking to certify a 12-year-old or an 11-year-old. However, we may have concerns because what if the age is different? What if it's a 12-year-old and a 2-year-old? Or what if there is no consent? And what if there's force or threat of force? Another scenario, let's say we have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and let's say that there is consent in that case. Well, obviously, the court is still going to have concerns because we're dealing with someone who may or may not be the younger person in this case, may or may not have the ability to provide consent. Not only that, if things develop to the point of a sexual relationship, then we have, per se, sexual assault in that matter.
But let me pause you. If we were to just write Section 5 out, let's pretend this statute doesn't have Section 5 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Would your argument be any different as to its scope?
It would not be any different as to its scope. I think it reflects the legislature's consideration of the case as a whole. And let me give another example from the statute itself. There's essentially two ways to get to lewdness with the minor. One way is if you're...
Let's stay with my question for just a moment. If you take subsection 5 out in the prefatory language in subsections 2 and 4, you would still end up with a delinquent act under your theory that could be certified as an adult. So that leaves section 5 as meaningless. Is that right?
And again, I would not qualify it as meaningless. I view that as the legislature stating this is the category we want to place this in. So for example, in the cases that I gave, there may be situations that arise where a court may say or want to say, you know what, there's no wrongdoing here. These kids were 10 and 11. They were just playing around. There's no wrongdoing here. Or there may be a case where we would look at it and say, is this so egregious that it needs to go straight to criminal court? And instead the legislature is saying, despite the multiple factors and the multiple variations, multiple instances that you can have in committing lewdness with a minor, we want it to begin as a delinquent act. And again, it has since been stated, there's no place in that statute looking at the plain language where the legislature actually revokes the ability of the Supreme Court, I'm sorry, not of the Supreme Court, of the juvenile court.
Well, unless you treat Section 5 as a categorical declaration that this is, at most, a delinquent act.
And the response to that, I believe, would be, okay, if it's a delinquent act, which it is, a delinquent act would also include sexual assault, battery with substantial bodily harm, robbery with a deadly weapon, all of those acts.
But none of those have this subsection 5. The only one, according to your colleague, is armed robbery, or not armed robbery, but possession of a firearm.
I believe it was possession with a firearm. And I apologize, I have to take a look back at that statute. I do not know that that actually specifically states that the juvenile court would not have the power to certify on that case either. And again, I think it's just the legislature working this out because, as was stated, when you look at the legislative history, again, the language is not ambiguous, but you can tell they went back and forth. For example, it was brought up in the briefing that, you know, what if you just have two high school students that are fooling around in this case? Well, it's interesting because when you look at subsection 1, what you go back to is, there are two ways to get to lewdness with a minor. One is if you're over 18 and the child is younger than 16. And the second is if you're younger than 18 and the child is younger than 14. Why is that important? It's important because the legislature is actually stating one of these falls into the category of essentially no wrongdoing. So if you have a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old, you cannot have lewdness with a minor in that case. That's simply not, you cannot be found guilty of that.
Well, you don't even have a delinquent act.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It falls into that category, or what I call the category of no wrongdoing. However, subsection B refers to the fact that they are guilty if they commit a lewd act on a child under 14 years of age. And it's especially important because when you look at subsection 4, it states that a person, meaning any person who commits this act, is guilty of a Category B felony. Now, it does add there that with the exception of subsection 5, however, when you go to subsection 5, you find it's deemed a delinquent act, which means that's where we start off.
Do you think that read in against 62B, this statute, the two of them combined produces ambiguity, and that if the legislature means to saddle a 17-year-old with a felony sexual offense, it needed to say so clearly, and therefore the rule of lenity should apply given the anomalous subsection 5 that isn't anywhere else in the criminal code?
I do not believe so. I think the legislature here is emphasizing and restating the fact that we're starting off with a delinquent act no matter the factors. But we're not going to take, or the legislature is not going to take away the power of the juvenile court to certify this particular case. And that's where we get to the point of if what would the absurd results be if the legislature looked at this one particular crime, which is so heinous and egregious, and say, well, this is the one that we're going to deem a delinquent act. We're not going to tell you that it's not certifiable, But it's not when, in, for example, in this particular case, you have a 17-and-a-half-year-old. You have several young victims. The acts that he perpetrated on those victims were very heinous and serious. The ability of the juvenile system to rehabilitate this young man are essentially zero. And then we begin to go down the road of the seven minors where we look at, is he going to pose more risk to the community? And that's what Judge Gibson found in this particular case, is that, yes, he poses a serious risk to the community. We do not have the ability to rehabilitate him in the system.
Arguably, counsel, didn't, I mean, some of these are egregious facts, and lewdness is a big umbrella, is what you're pointing out. And because it's a big umbrella, perhaps that's reading tea leaves, maybe that's why subsection 5 is there. But you have a charging decision, and you have a set of facts that is pretty egregious that probably falls under other statutes that aren't lewdness. Probably find a sexual assault in that. I mean, I haven't drilled down. There's a lot of different time periods in that. But somebody elected to charge this one, and it seems that there's just a problem to me with how you harmonize these when this is one of the only statutes that they did write. It's a delinquent act, and each one's except for subsection 5. So it kind of lays it out, and at the end it says, but if you're under 18, it's a delinquent act. So it would seem that you circle around to 62B and you say, well, if it would be a crime committed by an adult. But he wasn't an adult. And the more specific is the subsection 5. So I'm just under just ordinary statutory construction, without doing any major gymnastics, I'm trying to figure out how to reconcile that.
So that's where I go back to subsection 4. So first of all, we know under subsection 1 that the juvenile is guilty of something, or of lewdness with the minor. We don't know exactly what category that falls into, correct? When you look at subsection 4, then we get into that felony if a person commits that. And then the court is
actually
right.
The court says except as provided in 5.
Right.
And that's exactly right. So in subsection 5, we begin again with, is this a delinquent act? And one of the things to look at under 62B 390 under the certification statute is the court asked about why not charge other charges. And generally, we would. However, in this case, there was no indication of sexual assault. The victim stated that explicitly. However, 62B 390 subsection 2 states that when a juvenile is certified on a particular charge, any other basically elements or crimes that went along with that incident are also certified as well. And so we would have a strange case where, so a child is certified on sexual assault, but we charge lewdness with the minor in the alternative, and those are certifiable.
But the statute allows for that. It says if you have a certifiable offense, then you can bring along the other delinquent acts.
That's correct. And that's where I go back to. I believe the legislature, its intent was to emphasize that this is the category we're looking at. There's nothing in that statute that says it's not certifiable.
Well, if I mean, some of the questions have been along the proposition, and I'm sorry, Chief, I know we're
going to
go ahead, have been along the proposition that are we rendering, you know, Section 5 irrelevant by your interpretation? However, if we take Section 5 out, then Section 1B that says somebody under the 18 that commits these acts is guilty of lewdness with a minor, then that's a per se case like murder that's committed by somebody over the age of 13, right? That's automatically a district court filing for a criminal offense because there's nothing that defines it as a delinquent act.
I don't know if I quite agree with that interpretation. Under subsection 2, it would still be considered a delinquent act, and it wouldn't be per se necessarily because we'd have to prove the other elements of lewd intent. And that's one of the issues with juveniles and lewdness with the minor. That is different from adult court, is we actually have to prove that there was intent on the side of the juvenile to commit those acts. Where you're correct, if it was an adult, as long as they commit those acts, the intent is assumed.
Okay, any other questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Gregory, you got 2 minutes and 46 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor,
I think this is a case where the code H decision is particularly enlightening. In that case, the petitioner was arguing that he or she was a part of the class of protected people in the lewdness statute. And this court then held that if the legislature intended NRS 201-230 to only apply to perpetrators over the age of 14, it would have expressed that limitation. We have a limitation so expressed by the legislature in subsection 5. And as Your Honor indicated, there's no gymnastics or mental or otherwise required to get there. We've got a plain reading of the statute, which indicates that this is not a certifiable offense. This stays in the juvenile courts, and that's the end of the decision tree. And unless there are any further questions, I've run out of things to talk about.
Colleagues, any other questions?
No, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. All right, thank you for the briefing and the arguments today. The matter will stand submitted.